No!
Merde! Frenchie pounded a gloved fist on the table in the boy's office and then reached down and put a third hat on his head. He was seated opposite the female, the both of them wearing multiple layers of clothes, jackets, and even socks over boots. A basket each was at their feet with Frenchie's pile slightly smaller than the female's. The female held up five cards with two pair. At a nearby desk with mother's milk, Huey looked over in confusion.
What are they?
Looks like reverse strip poker. You like that coffee?
Hey, it's fucking great. Didn't think I'd pass up on a proper
coaster.
Mother's milk nodded to a stack of coasters on his desk.
Right, sorry.
Special blend, but mostly Costa Rican shade grown. Got into coffee while in Central America and was deployed there back in the day.
You were a soldier?
Army Rangers.
Hey.
Huey glanced down at the mug in his hand and then up at his massive team member.
Look, you can tell me to fuck off. I mean, it's really none of my business, but did you ever kill anybody?
You thinking about Blarney Cock?
I can't stop thinking about it.
Mother's Milk stared into his own cup for a few moments as if seeing something familiar in the brew. Someone familiar.
Yeah, I killed some people. Yeah, they're in my head, and no, they ain't coming out. Dudes I killed in the army, I didn't even know who they were. I told myself it was the job, or I had orders, or it was them or me. Motherfuckers I killed since I joined this outfit. I know for a goddamn fact the world is a safer place without those sons of bitches to stink it up. Only regret I got is I ain't get to put them down twice.
Jangs.
Huey looked over to the most recent hand of poker being played, and then back to Mother's Milk.
Has, Butcher killed anyone?
He sleeps just fine, too.
You know, every time I think I got him pegged, he does something that puts me right back at square one. Like today, he's at the gay bar. He's calling them all sorts of names and then riding me about being unaccepting of the lads.
Huey, Butcher don't hate gays. He don't get pissed at someone because of who they be fucking. He don't hate anyone if they ain't no point to it. You want to understand the man, that's all you got to know right there. You're either a problem or you can help him. Everything he does or says serves whatever it is he got planned. He don't waste nothing. Not time, not words, not effort, not even a goddamn smile, Huey.
Huh. Hey.
Me? Now, I used to have a problem with fags.
What?
Place I grew up. That's just how it was. You were supposed to hate the motherfuckers or there might be something wrong with you too. And then one day, I found out what hate truly is.
Butcher and Huey stepped from the taxi and, leaving Terror idling in the cab, walked up the steps to a double wooden doors of a mansion in Westchester County. Huey looked across the road and looked down the street at many of the private drives and large, expansive homes.
Jenks, have you seen some of these houses?
Westchester, mate. Lot of old money out here. Yeah, did you finish reading them comics?
Eh? Oh, aye. They didn't get better. Swing Wing is always dealing with one cause after the next. Subtle as a brick through a window.
Any idea how to find him?
Publisher won't give out info or doesn't have any. And all the causes only interact with the publisher. The newest Ladio is a dead end as well. Only fights people his size. And Tech Knight's boring. They have him as this dark, driven, avenging fella, but they always pull their punches. Even his secret identity.
Yeah, they don't even bother making it different from the real life one. On top of that, he's never given us a reason to take interest. Nothing dodgy or dirty. He's the only one of the big boys we never went near.
Thomas! Someone's at the door!
Robert Vernon stood in the study of his massive home in his Tech Knight gear with his face shield up, looking through a book.
Thomas! Why aren't you... Oh, shit.
Vernon ran from the room and down the hall. Halfway down the hall to the main doors, Vernon realized he was wearing all his Tech Knight gear. He stopped and started trying to pull it off.
Coming! Be right there! Christ!
Having gotten most all of it, Vernon quickly opened the nearby closet door and, grabbing a robe,
coming!
Tried to shove all the dark blue body armor and jetpack into the hall closet. He quickly tried to shut the door and turned and jogged for the front door while putting on the robe, unaware that the door came back open and stayed slightly ajar.
Hello?
Robert Vernon opened the door to see a tall man and a short man, although both wore the same black overcoat. The taller had dark hair and wore a slight smirk, whereas the shorter wore a green hoodie under his coat, with the hood flapped over the back collar of the overcoat, and a reddish-brown goatee and mustache. His hair cut close to his head and had a frown but stern look to him. The taller, dark-haired man gave a slight tilt to his head.
Morning, Gov. You wouldn't happen to be the tech knight by any chance.
What?
Don't mind if we come in, do you, Squire?
Butcher brushed past Vernon and continued through the entryway and down the hall Vernon had just come. Huey slowly followed.
What? Wait, what did you call me?
Vernon looked out the front door and, seeing the slightly idling taxi, quickly looked to the two men walking down by the slightly ajar closet door.
I'm not the tech knight or whatever you... Look, you can't just walk in here.
Library.
Butcher and Huey came to a stop just inside the library, Vernon right behind them.
Alphabetical. That's handy. See, P, P, P.
Butcher crossed to a section of shelves and eyed a particular book.
Bingo.
Look, I don't know what the hell you think you're doing, but I'm not... Are you not listening? I'm not...
Upon picking the book, The Purloined Letter and Other Stories by Edgar Allan Poe, the section of bookshelf shifted and spun backwards to reveal a wide tread spiral staircase going down.
Well, it is true. You never know what you're going to find if you just pick up a book.
Butcher placed the book on another shelf and headed down the staircase. As Butcher descended, with Huey and Vernon following, he looked up the shaft to see most likely more hidden doors to other parts of the mansion.
About 6 years ago, one of your mates in Payback, Eagle the Archer, got coked off his tits and beat his girlfriend into a coma. I kept it a secret, and in exchange, he told me everything he knew about every one of his teammates, right down to the smallest detail.
Jesus.
Butcher entered the tech cave and swung his head in awe as he continued across the floor.
Cool. Now this is knees up, this is. Got all your toys oiled and ready, eh?
Butcher crossed to a wall of monitors and a high back swivel chair and sat. He spun in the chair and, coming to rest, facing Vernon, as Huey stared over at the gear and occasional items with holes bored into them.
Who are you people?
You've had enough shocks for one day, mate. We've got a couple of questions we want to ask you.
About what?
Not what, mate. Who? A little mate of yours.
After their chat in the tech cave and another long cab ride back to the city, the boys assembled about the office of their HQ.
So Tech Knight says Swing Wing is gay, but wouldn't say how he knew, but couldn't give any details either way about the Rubenstein kid.
The legend said Stephen was sleeping with Swing Wing before he died, right? We've heard nothing to contradict that.
We talked to Swing Wing then.
Well, for one thing, we don't know where to find the cunt. Tech Knight might have told me, except he grew his bollocks back and threatened to death ray us instead. I'll tell you one thing. That bartender was right about Tech Knight hating Puftus. He fell all over himself when I asked him that one.
Enough to waste a dude for fucking his ex-sidekick? Way too thin, man.
Huey looked over to the office phone that had a small screen above the dial pad. He reached over and pressed the accept button.
Frenchie, when did this message come in?
Pardon?
The message? When did it come in?
Just someone looking for un gendarme. Wrong number, certainement.
Huey read the screen and then looked to Butcher.
Constable Campbell.
Ah, oui.
Butcher, Huey, and Mother's Milk stared at Frenchie, who lit a cigarette and, noticing their stares, shrugged.
Quoi?
Huey stood outside the Red Hot Rooster with Paul and Max. Paul was smoking and looking away, and Max had his arms folded, looking down and sheepish.
Sorry for this, but Max remembered something he forgot to tell you. Or confess to you is a little more like it.
Paul, I swear to you.
Just tell him.
Huey waited as Max seemed to shrink a bit more, and yet remained upright.
After you came here yesterday, Paul and I had a fight, and I told him... I sent Stephen to talk to Swing Wing.
Falk.
And the rest. Tell him the rest.
I swear I didn't mean for him to get hurt. I swear to God. I mean, okay, I didn't like the kid, but that doesn't mean I fed him to the wolves or whatever. Anyway, I never go to the stupid community meetings Swing Wing would do around here. They're just nonsense. But this one night, I'm waiting for Paul. I'm early, and I see Swing Wing make his big exit. You know, he flies out the window of the community center. And he flies up, but it looks like he lands on the roof of the building next door. And then, about 15 minutes later, a young guy with a big rucksack comes out of the building. I know these people all have their masks and secret identities, but most of them are ridiculous, and all you need is to meet Swing Wing once, and even with the mask, you'd know his face anywhere. So, a couple of nights after that, I'm having a drink in the Rooster, and Paul's behind the bar, and Steven will not leave him alone, and I am utterly sick of it. So, I take him aside, and I tell him where he can find Swing Wing. I know Steven likes him. He never shuts up about the guy. And if I can bring him and his idol together, maybe he'll leave my man alone for a change.
Paul then turned on Max, disgust in his eyes.
Uh-huh. And if Swing Wing turns out to be a little overprotective of his secret identity, well, I guess that's just tough shit for Steven then.
Max moved to Paul, placing his hands on Paul's chest.
Paul, I didn't...
Fuck off.
Paul flicked his cigarette to the street and abruptly turned and went back into the bar. Max stared at the sidewalk where Paul had just been.
Hey, thanks. That was helpful, but I need to go.
When Huey returned to the office, the rest of the boys were all huddled around a table.
Listen, lads, I think...
Read all about it, mate.
Butcher held up the most recent New York Post with the headline, Homo Hero, Millionaire Socialite Revealed to Be Tech Knight, a pervert who tried to rape family butler.
Oh, fuck. How did...
Dude wrote the piece, says the butler quit a couple days ago, called the papers right away. Had him bidding on the story.
So much for the gentleman's gentleman.
Tried to rape his butler. So Tech Knight is gay then? Then why was he so pissed when Drake saw him?
It wasn't a Benders. It was Swing Wing talking to him. Must have made him jealous.
And if he saw Swing Wing with somebody else? Oh, shite. Drake's boyfriend sent Steven to see Swing Wing just to get him to leave off Drake. He wasn't trying, you know.
Moot point, innit? We've got to go and see Tech Knight. Now he's been outed, there's no telling what he might do.
We've got to go? Oh, sure. He's just got that big cave full of fucking gizmos. What could he do to us?
Well, thing about Tech Knight is that he's not really a suit. If we could get him out of that suit, he'd be a pushover.
He's not a suit?
Never took Compound V. Most of them have, or sometimes they have surgical enhancements like that silly bitch Popclaw.
If we do get him out of the suit, what are you going to do to him?
Well, if he behaves himself, we can have a little chat about his future. Be handy to have a member of Payback in our pocket, no matter how damaged he is. And if he doesn't, he'll get a little slap.
Huey looked down.
Huey, I know this side of things got off to a horrible start for you, but I'm not going to say you can leave the rough stuff to the rest of us. Everyone pulls their weight in this mob, no exceptions. Sooner or later, my son, you'll have to get used to the idea that you're going to have to hurt people.
Hey.
Tech Knight entered the tech cave pulling on a gauntlet. His visor was up and his eyes were wide and furious.
That fucking two-faced, limey prick. Now everyone thinks I'm a fucking faggot. Oh, I'm gonna rip his goddamn head off and fuck his neck till it bursts.
I don't know if I like the sound of that. Threatening one of me fellow countrymen.
Tech Knight stopped and looked over to the main workstation to see Butcher in the command chair and Huey to Butcher's right.
You!
Evening, Squire. Hope you don't mind us letting ourselves in through the waterfall entrance on the edge of your property.
Tech Knight crossed the Butcher in a rage.
What are you... How... What the fuck?
Well said. We want another word with you about Steven Rubenstein. About what you did to him.
Tech Knight stopped, his kinetic rage shifting to hateful coldness.
Well, you can go
Come on, be a good lad. We don't want to have to do this the hard way.
The visor of Tech Knight's helmet closed. Two red crosshairs centered over the heads of Butcher and Huey.
Targets acquired. 3.2 meters. Tasers enabled. 1,000 volts. Flame guns enabled. Proximity alert. Proximity alert.
Tech Knight spun around, only to find the face of a young Asian woman filling his display screen.
Damage. Damage. Inoperable.
In what had been a few minutes of violent carnage, Tech Knight now lay face down, his helmet off, his tech suit in broken tatters, and a few of his teeth mixed in besides. The female of the species was standing beside Robert Vernon's prone body, holding one of his arms up by the wrist.
I bet you feel like a rat cunt.
Once out of the wreckage of his Tech Knight suit, Vernon sat on the floor, fumbling through a tech first aid kit, looking for something to stem the blood from his broken nose and missing teeth, as Huey and Butcher stood by, looking down on the beaten man. The female stood over by the techmobile, admiring the seamless design.
I didn't kill him. I never even met him.
You denying you saw Steven Rubenstein with Swing Wing?
Yes! You can beat the shit out of me, and I'll say whatever you want me to say, but that's it.
But you told us Swing Wing was gay.
I only did that so you'd go after him next. Far as I know, he's straight.
So why didn't you tell us where to find him?
Because I was getting fucking sick of you. Why should I make it easy?
But why do you want to fuck things up for him? Is he not your pal?
Vernon pushed a small wad of gauze up one nostril and winced in pain.
Christ! I've got a little problem. I've taken to fucking things. People, inanimate objects. I've no control over it. I feel like I'm going crazy. Well, Swing Wing was kind enough to tell the Seven about this because he heard I had a chance of joining them. And he wanted to mess things up for me, which he did.
A tooth and a fresh amount of blood and sputum joined the rest on the floor.
And the reason he wanted to do that, apart from the possibility of clearing the way for him, was that a while ago, when he was still the original Ladio, we had a three-way with Talon. She had followed me back to the tech cave, and she suggests we have a bottle of wine and have Ladio join us. After a few bottles, things get out of hand. And before I know it, we're... And all I can think of is, just don't make eye contact. We've been civil, but it's just been too weird since. And he goes and backstabs me, the prick.
Huey and Butcher shared a glance, and then Butcher gave Vernon a nod.
Well, you've been a big help. Very enlightening. We can find ourselves out. But you already knew that, don't you?
Butcher tossed down to the floor the New York Post from earlier.
See you around, fuckmonger. Come.
It's Tech, mate.
So him and Swing Wing have a threesome with Talon, and afterwards they fall out over her, and they've been at daggers ever since. And then... Well, fuck, I don't know. That might explain why Tech Knight started riding the arse of everything he could get his hands on. But I don't think a spit roasting's gonna do that to you.
Huey, Butcher, and the female continued down the cave towards a waterfall portal in the shape of the letter T, like the one on all of Tech Knight's gear.
Doesn't matter.
And I suppose that proves Swing Wing's not, well, not completely bent. But that doesn't fit with him pissing about the Rubenstein lad.
Doesn't matter. Look. We've been busy trying to figure out if Swing Wing is into boys or girls that we haven't stopped to consider if it's got anything to do with his motive. Same thing with Tech Knight. We saw the headline and thought, well, that explains everything.
Once on the other side of the waterfall portal, the three joined Mother's Milk and Frenchie by the boys' van. Butcher stopped and looked at Huey.
Wait. You said motive. You think Swingwing killed Stephen Rubenstein?
Huey looked up to Butcher.
I think it's time we finally met the cunt.
Not a problem. Now we've got his bloody address at long last. Right, MM?
Butcher held up a flash drive with a wireless antenna on it. Mother's Milk stepped from the van and gave a nod.
Yeah, just back in the city.
Butcher gave Huey a wink.
Game's afoot, is it?
Aye, it is.
It was after 10 p.m. when a tall, blonde, strongly built young man unlocked his apartment and stepped in to find Butcher and Huey waiting for him. He was carrying a large rucksack on his right shoulder.
Swingwing, what's occurring, my son?
Who are you, and what are you doing in my apartment?
What happened with you and Stephen Rubenstein?
Swingwing's face tightened.
I asked who you are. Are you the police? Because if you are, I'd like to see some ID right away.
Butcher threw a casual glance at Huey, but Huey kept an angry glare locked on Swingwing.
Fuck, he's a cool one, isn't he, Huey? The old tech knight went to bloody bits on the spot, blabbed everything he knew, but not this bloke.
Stephen knew whether you changed out of your suit after the community meetings. Either he was waiting for you there, or he followed you back here. What happened?
Swingwing unslung the large rucksack from his shoulder, but held the strap in his right hand.
I have no idea who Stephen Rubenstein is, or about those other names you mentioned. Either you show me some ID or leave, because I'm about to call—
Listen, you bastard!
Huey took a step towards the taller blonde man.
6 months ago, that boy was found dead on the fucking street. Do you know the look he had on his face? Misery. No panic, no fear, misery. Now you tell me what happened that night, or I promise you, I will fucking beat the truth out of you. So help me—
Swingwing quickly turned and swung his rucksack, hitting Huey and knocking him to the floor. He followed the momentum of the swing and turned toward the door, opened it, and took off running down the hall. Butcher looked down at Huey.
Jesus!
But don't just sit there. Fucking get after it.
Huey clambered to his feet and was out the door.
He's going for the roof!
I'll take the fire escape and cut him off.
Swingwing already had his costume and jetpack on and had already put his flight visor on over his eyes when Huey reached the roof access door.
No!
Huey bolted across the roof and dove into Swingwing's back, driving him to the roof.
Huey, this ladder's fucked, mate. You're gonna have to take him yourself.
Huey and Swingwing rolled and grappled, Swingwing getting a hand on Huey's face as he tried to hold the larger man down.
Can't hit him!
Swingwing's jetpack fired a burst of energy, sending both men skittering together across the roof about 30 feet.
Don't be a cunt, Huey. You can't let him get away. Huey, fucking swat him one.
Huey swung hard and caught Swingwing straight in the face, smashing the center of the flight visor and sending a cascade of blood out of Swingwing's nose and mouth. Huey stood and stepped back as Butcher finally climbed over the ladder from the fire escape.
Nice one, my son.
Butcher looked down to Swingwing, who opened his eyes and looked about in a daze.
Stephen Rubenstein, then. Once more with feeling.
Swingwing sat up and then slid himself to a nearby chimney and spat out a tooth.
He was hiding on the motel roof over on 9th. Popped up when I took my mask off. At that point, it was okay. I mean, annoying, but anyway, we talked.
And?
Surprise. It's the same old shit. He's gay, his parents don't know, blah, blah. But what's bothering this fucking faggot is there's this one guy he knows he can be happy with, but can't seem to tell him how he feels. I start repeating all the shit from the comics. You have to talk to him, tell him how you feel. And he says, okay, it's you. I'm stunned. He starts to come towards me, his arms open, and I'm like, get the fuck away from me, faggot. And he tried to hug me. Can't even... And he reaches for me, saying, please. And I just knock his hands away and push and say, no. And he falls. I didn't know we were so close to the edge. He just fell. It was an accident.
And then?
Well, he did what these cunts always do. He fucked off, flew away.
Huey shook his head, trying to understand.
Why did you freak out so much? I mean, all the time you've been spending around Gaze.
That's not me. That's Swingwing. He's got the mask, the armor. It's by the numbers. You think I like hanging around with these cocksuckers? Vought American and the comic book people, they want Swingwing to be nice to all these queers, but nobody asked me if I wanted to do it. But I have to. Have to smile at them, shake their hands, and tell these filthy fucking disease-ridden scum that they're okay. And then this little asshole gets right up in my face with all his twisted shit.
Butcher stepped up and over Swingwing.
Well, blimey, mate. Tell us how you really feel. Get up.
What?
On your feet, Sharpish.
Butcher pulled Swingwing to his feet and placed his right arm on Swingwing's shoulder so his hand hung over Swingwing's back.
Now, you've been a bad lad, and you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to carry on being Swingwing, and Payback are probably going to want a replacement for Tech Knight soon, and that'll be your golden opportunity. You keep your eyes and your ears open. We'll be in touch from time to time, and you'll tell us anything we want to know. And when we think you've squared your account for Steven Rubenstein, we'll let you know. Savvy?
But listen, I...
Good.
Butcher drew his right arm back and quickly put his right hand into the pocket of his overcoat.
Right. Now fuck off.
Having left Swingwing's building and despite the late hour, Butcher and Huey opted to walk instead of grab a cab back to the office. A few blocks passed before Butcher offered a side glance at Huey.
Surprised I let the wanker off so lightly?
Don't think you did. I mean, you're going to make his life a living hell, and part of me hopes to have a hand in that. But I'm not surprised, and that's the thing. It's the world I'm in now, right? We solved the mystery, but there's no justice for that wee fella, is there? All we've done is make the fella who killed him a cog in the machine. We're gathering intelligence, playing the game. We only got involved in this case because the legend wanted to know who killed his sister's grandson. He called
the... Legend hasn't got a sister.
Huey stopped walking.
What?
Only child. Broke the mold after they made that one, mate.
Then...
Dunno.
Butcher stopped as well and turned back and shrugged.
Maybe he read about the boy getting killed and heard there was a possible suit angle. And all he could do is think of some young lad lying dead with no one to speak for him. Maybe the legend's more like you than you think. Cares for people, you know? He just uses nasty words to cover it up.
Butcher crossed back to Huey as he turned something over in his right hand.
On the other hand, he may just be a right bastard who likes torturing suits.
Butcher nodded and smiled.
You've done well on this one, Huey. You followed your nose, caught a couple of things I missed, and we got some solid intel on a couple of people we barely knew before. It might not seem like it now, mate, but those were some real results.
Butcher smiled wide and flipped something in the air and caught it. It was a 3-inch mechanics hex screw, the head of which was the same color as Swingwing's jetpack.
And, as a reward, I'm going to let you buy me some breakfast. There's an all-night diner up the street here I've been wanting to try. Come on.
A couple of weeks later, Huey sat on a bench in Madison Square Park with Paul Drake from the Red Hot Rooster.
So it was Swingwing?
We believe so. I just thought you might want to know.
Wait, didn't he just die fighting? It was on the news just a couple days ago.
Aye. I shouldn't really tell you this, but what actually happened was his jetpack broke down in midair and he crashed. Nobody's really sure how it happened. They have people who cover this stuff up for them. The superheroes, like...
Paul looked down and gave a slow shake of his head.
No justice. Well, at least there isn't a mystery. Thank you anyway, Constable Campbell.
Huey nodded and looked about to take in the park.
Huh. Is that Max?
Paul followed Huey's gaze, and about 50 yards away and slouched, Max stared from further down the trail in the park.
Christ, the fucking idiot's been following me everywhere.
Huey looked to Paul.
He couldn't have known what would happen. Nobody could, eh? Right. Take care then.
Huey stood and walked away as Paul's eyes stayed on Max. From the Flatiron Building, Mother's Milk and Huey looked out the window and down onto Madison Square Park, where Paul and Max sat together on the bench. Paul's arm around Max.
Looks like they're gonna make it. Their story will go on.
What is it about love stories, though, you know?
Just two people finding each other.
Huey and Mother's Milk's eyes went wide as they turned and stared at Butcher. Butcher caught their glances while looking over a copy of the New York Post. He then lowered it.
What?
Huey and Mother's Milk exchanged a look. Then Mother's Milk shrugged.
Well, I got a mo job.
Mother's Milk crossed out of the room and went back to his desk.
Huey, come here, Matt.
Huey crossed to the table, pulled out a chair, and sat.
Yeah. Good old Technot died.
Yeah, heard that. He was walking by a construction site and some lad dropped a wheelbarrow and he pushed some mother and child out of the way. Saved them both. Died a hero, at least, before he moved on.
Butcher set the paper down on the table and looked to Huey.
Yeah, but that bloke with a wheelbarrow did him a favour. Apparently, the coroner found a tumour the size of a fucking fist in his head. Must have been what had him wanting to rail everything.
Butcher reached down below the table and brought up a bag and set it on top of it.
Speaking of moving on, this is for you.
Huey started to open the bag.
What is it?
A Russian phrase book.
Huey fished the book out and looked at it.
Easy Russian phrase book. Over 700 phrases for everyday use. What do I need this for?
I need you to get on and learn some Ivan. We're off to Moscow.
Huey blinked and stared at Butcher, who turned a page in the paper.
All right. When are we off then?
Oh, tomorrow.
As a C-130 Hercules rumbled and shook with mild turbulence just before sunrise, an airman in all black and a helmet with a headset walked down a slight aisle made by the random crates and freight and stopped at Butcher, giving him a nudge. Butcher's eyes opened and the airman held up three fingers. Butcher nodded and the airman walked off down the length of the cargo plane.
Right, boys, we're here. We landed free.
Good to hear. Not exactly the lap of luxury.
No, but it's free, and no one knows we're coming.
Butcher looked over at Mother's Milk and canted his head across the aisle.
Wake Frenchie. Have him wake the female.
Mother's Milk nodded and leaned over, tapping Frenchie on the leg.
Yo!
Shame about the in-flight meal.
Yeah, and the in-flight entertainment. You snore like a bastard. Anyone tell you that, Huey?
Shit!
Really?
Oh, he's fucking with you, Huey. But you do fart like a motherfucker.
Oi, let's head back. Come on, Terra.
The boys all unbuckled, collected their gear, and started walking toward the rear of the aircraft.
We're with the company, so we fly with the Air Force. Has its perks. Though if you have the miles, you should never fly anything less than business.
Butcher gestured ahead, and the boys walked down the center aisle, made by two rows of men in orange jumpsuits with black sacks over their heads, hands cuffed behind their backs, feet manacled together, and locked to the deck of the aircraft. After passing them and reaching the rear door, Huey looked at Butcher and canted his head to the prisoners.
What's gonna happen to them now?
Well, they came aboard in Ankara. So my guess is H via a couple more pickups in Islamabad and Seoul.
Anchorage?
Not so loud, Huey. If they all piss themselves at once, the crew chief will throw a fit.
The airman pulled a lever and the rear door began to open. A harsh wind howled outside the plane as a furious squall of snow swirled just outside the C-130.
Anyway, welcome to Moscow, Tovrich.
In the skies above Moscow, a Learjet 45 was on approach to Sheremetyevo Airport. The pilot looked sternly ahead as the co-pilot was distracted and listening over his shoulder.
No. What is that buzzing noise? Shit.
Using electronic items likely to interfere with aircraft systems? What do you think?
Precivni.
You want to go back to teaching little brown people how to fly MiGs? You quit anytime you like. I've had enough of that shit over Cuba. In the meantime, Novi Parin, you want to keep from having rats sewn up inside you? You watch your mouth when you talk about little Nina.
On the tarmac at Sheremetyevo, the boys stood and had been waiting long enough for Frenchie and the female to be well into a playful snowball fight, and Huey was stomping his feet to keep them warm. A black Mercedes SUV G-Class came onto the tarmac and headed straight for them.
Oh, about bleeding time. Get your gear, boys.
Thank fuck. Freezing me fucking bollocks off.
The rear door opened automatically as the boys approached, and the driver's side window went down to reveal Kessler behind the wheel. He leaned his head out, sporting a red hunting cap with ear flaps down.
Where the hell have you been, monkey?
Sorry,
Yeah. You leave us standing around like cunts again, and I'll have your bollocks for marbles, sunshine.
The rest of the boys quickly piled into the SUV. Butcher crossed around the passenger side door as a Learjet 45 touched down in the distance.
Right, let's go. And take the scenic route.
Butcher pulled Terror onto his lap as Kessler drove through the cargo freight access gate.
Must say I'm surprised to see you here, monkey. Thought you were happy driving a desk at Langley.
Temporary liaison, so long as you're in town. I spent 2 years in the embassy, so I have quite a bit of local experience.
Oh, right. So it's got nothing to do with the women's Paralympic exhibition tournament they're holding here. Right. That's just coincidence, isn't it?
No.
Butcher looked at Kessler and smiled.
Why, monkey, you dirty little sod.
Kessler glanced in the rearview mirror to see a full-on glare from Huey and quickly focused back on the road.
So, Director Rayner read your report on the incident with Teenage Kix.
Did she now?
I read it too. The director wanted me to communicate to you her concern, she picked up on the sense that you gave that, the message alerting Teenage Kix might have originated in her office. She wanted me to assure you that that is completely, totally, and absolutely impossible.
Butcher rubbed Terror's neck and glanced out the window at the falling snow.
Well, you tell her message received and understood.
Right. So we're good?
Butcher slowly brought his gaze over to Kessler.
Message received and understood.
Right. Because, you know, it's...
We're getting out here.
What? Here?
You take our stuff to the hotel. I'll give you a shout if I need you, but I doubt I will. Take the day off and go to the Spankathon, monkey. May as well make the most of it, yeah?
It was not the warmth of the bar or the slightly gamey smell of the few customers the bar contained, but the large man rivaling mother's milk in stature, overweight, with long grayish-black hair and a matching length of beard. His disheveled clothes were covered in front by a large, slightly dingy white apron with a single red star at the top center. The large man raised both arms up and out in a joyous greeting.
Billy!
The large man quickly crossed from around the bar towards Butcher.
Hello, Vass.
Billy, comrade! It has been eons! Come here, you motherfucker!
The large Russian grabbed Butcher in a bear hug and lifted him off the ground.
Fucking hell, Vass. You're gonna bloody put me in traction.
Voss set Butcher down and looked over the others.
Mother's milk! And the Frenchman! It has been a coon's age, yes?
He reached out and put a hand each on a shoulder of Frenchie and Mother's Milk.
One way to put it, Voss.
Mon brave.
Voss glanced at the female.
And female!
Voss held up his right hand to reveal his index and middle fingers ended at the middle knuckles, and then looked at Huey.
Lady, you will not be touched. Expensive lesson I learned well, no matter.
Butcher stepped over, looked at Huey, and canted his head toward Voss.
Huey, this is Vasily Varishkin. Voss, this...
Little Huey, welcome to Russia, my friend. Bailey has told me so much about you.
Voss extended the marred hand, which Huey shook.
Oh, well, that's good. But he didn't actually mention you.
Didn't tell you why you come here either, I bet. Same old Billy. Keeping everyone in dark until it suits him.
How about that?
Voss gestured to a large empty table near the back of the bar.
Sit, sit! All is revealed as layers of mystery peeled away.
The boys crossed to the table, all took chairs and sat, as Voss turned to the random few patrons in the establishment.
Okay, all set, lonely fuckers, go home. Bar's closed for private function. Go!
Voss started to take off his apron and then canted his head to a short, stocky man with longish, dirty blonde hair, a mustache, a burning cigarette in his mouth, and an eye patch.
Except for you, Igor. You're a useful man to have around.
Voss then turned and headed for a door at the back of the room.
We have drink now. Toast reunion of old friends. Wait, I get best vodka.
Huey gave a thoughtful and slow nod and then looked across the table at Butcher.
So, what are we doing in Moscow, and who is he?
Butcher glanced at Igor, who had sat back down at his table near the front of the bar, and continued nursing his drink and smoking. Butcher then placed his elbows on the table and leaned in.
Right, pin you here back. About 2 weeks ago, a suit, villain, not a hero, popped up in one of the ghettos in this fair city, appears in the market, and announces who he was and what his evil plan was for all. Tyranny, control, whatever. None of which I remember from the reports I saw, but I doubt it matters a fuck, because right there and then the cunt's head exploded. Bang. Bits of skull and brains everywhere. Whole head gone. Then 2 days later, it happened again. Nobody heard nothing. No ballistic material recovered. No weapon.
Ain't that easy to blow a dude's head off, Huey. Brains out, sure, but anything else is Hollywood bullshit.
50 caliber avec silencieux, 12 points, 7 milli.
Vass is getting us into the morgue this afternoon, Frenchy. You can have a proper deco then, all right?
Where?
Back in the 90s, I read about some egghead having a go at a boosted version of Compound V. Boosted past the point it stopped being stable, apparently. Idea was you could inject this stuff into a suit and it'd be like a chemical time bomb. Get the dose right and a body would tear itself apart. Completely untraceable. The twats are all shot full of V to begin with.
But why would anyone want to...
kill suits? I haven't got the slightest idea, mate.
It didn't work.
Too unstable. They shot it into V'd-up chimps, and after time, nothing happened at all. The other half, you couldn't predict when it was going to go off. One exploded 2 years after injection, after it had been sold to a fucking zoo.
Voss returned to the swinging door with a tray of shot glasses in one hand and a bottle of clear liquid with a homemade label that was black with a skull and crossbones on it.
We drink!
Voss crossed to the table and set down the tray and bottle.
Up to speed, little Huey?
Think so. You're getting us into the morgue, right?
Butcher thumbed to Voss.
Vass used to be a copper, Huey.
Aye?
By day was cop. By night was mighty superhero. Leader of team glorious 5-year plan.
Voss reached out and took a framed photo from a nearby wall. The image had a younger, clean-shaven version of Voss taking up most of the background and four other soups, three men and a woman in front of him.
We fought for workers. For comrades, the tractor, purge, red banner, collectivo, and there I am at the back. Love sausage.
Voss turned the frame around toward himself and gazed down at his framed glory.
Days of wonder, little Huey. Days of wonder.
Love sausage.
Tell you later.
Voss then returned the photo, sat down, and poured 6 shots. Once poured, all glasses came up.
Cheers, mates.
Long life and good shit.
Dostrovia.
Sante.
Hey, cheers.
Huey and Voss threw their heads back and drank, yet the other four quickly leaned their heads back but tossed their drinks over their shoulders. All 6 glasses came back to the table. But Huey's face went stark white, and he grabbed at his throat.
Oh, fuck you. I'm sorry, Dad. I thought you saw.
Quite a kick, little Huey. We'll put hair on the shaft of your cock.